trust. Now, we all know what trust is, right? We've all exercised trust to some level or another, and it's something that we do, frankly, every day. A day doesn't go by that we don't exercise some level of trust in something or another somewhere along the way. In fact, I can't think of any transaction in life where we don't exercise trust. We place trust in someone. We place trust in something. For example, you go down to the bank, right? You deposit some money into your account, and you trust the fact that when you go back and you ask for that money again, the bank's going to actually give it to you. You trust, right? You trust when you're speeding down the road and you're driving down the road safely at the actual, you know, speed limit. But then another car's coming in the other direction going the same speed, and you trust the fact that that car is not going to veer over into your lane, right? You trust that you're going to pass safely. You trust when you go to a restaurant, right, and the cooks are in the back and you can't see them. You trust that the staff is not doing something unseemly to your meal when it comes out, and you eat it with faith. You trust when you go to your doctor and you have an illness, and you trust that he's going to prescribe the right medicine or he's going to give you the right course of treatment. You trust when you read news online or watch it on TV that they're telling you the truth. A little bit. Anyway, you try. You trust. We trust all kinds of things. But as you know, we don't trust everything to the same level, do we? We give some things more trust, some things less trust. And we have this varying scale of trust that we give depending on the situation. Sometimes we give cautious trust, right? Like with that cook or with the newscaster. Other times we give complete trust, like when you sat down in your chairs this evening. You didn't even think about it. You just sat down, right? You didn't think for a moment that that chair might collapse underneath you. You trusted. But no matter what level of trust you give something, we all know that trust can be broken, can't it? It gets broken a lot, especially when we trust people. People let us down, and sometimes it can have some pretty devastating consequences when we trust people. For example, just as kind of a graphic example, back in 2011, Joe Paterno was fired as the head coach of the football program at Penn State. He was the winningest coach in major college football history, had a very long and successful and pretty amazing career. But then at the age of 84 years old, Joe Paterno was fired, all because of a scandal involving one of his assistant coaches, Jerry Sandusky. It turns out that Jerry Sandusky had an organization called the Second Mile Charity, and it was an organization that ostensibly was to help at-risk children. But one day, he was accused of molesting young boys, and at least 8 of them were molested over the course of 17 years. And Joe Paterno, along with the rest of the Penn State administration, somehow found out about it. And instead of reporting Sandusky to the police, Paterno and Penn State simply banned him from bringing children on campus. They didn't stop him. They just stopped him from doing it on campus. Sandusky and Paterno both betrayed trust, didn't they, right? Sandusky took those kids and abused them while Paterno left them in the hands of a predator. And that's the thing. Trust is betrayed all the time, and it seems like it might even be getting a little worse as we go along in life. Yeah, I don't know if you've noticed that. I seem to have that sense, but maybe, I don't know, maybe because people are becoming a little more selfish. Trust is a little harder to find. You see, in order to be trustworthy, you have to be concerned about the interest of other people, right? People are trusting you to operate in their best interest. When they place trust in you, they expect you to operate in their best interest. And so you have to be unselfish in order to be trustworthy, don't you? And that's not an easy thing. I'm sure you've all had examples in your life where trust has been broken. In Proverbs 25, verse 19, it says, "Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint." Jeremiah 17:5 says, "Cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm." And that's just how it goes. If we trust people and worldly things, we're eventually going to be disappointed, sooner rather than later, most likely. Now, throughout the Bible, Egypt, the land of Egypt, is a picture of the world. I'm sure you're all familiar with that, how it's used as a type of the world. I think it's interesting that the Bible repeatedly warns us not to trust Egypt. It's saying, don't put your trust in worldly people or worldly things. Isaiah chapter 31 and verse 1 says, "Woe unto them that go down to Egypt for help, and stay on horses, and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord." 2 Kings 18, verse 21 says, "Now behold, thou trustest upon the staff of this bruised reed, even upon Egypt, on which if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it." Isaiah 31, 1 says, "Now the Egyptians are men and not God. Their horses are flesh and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is helped shall fall down. And they all shall fail together." So trusting people and trusting the world can be dangerous, even though we have to do it all the time. But there's one who we can trust, isn't there? All right? There's one that we can trust without reservation, who will never let us down. And obviously, that's the Lord, right? Psalm 118, verse 8 says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Notice it sets up that contrast for us, a contrast between trusting the Lord and trusting the world. If we trust the Lord, we'll do well. If we trust the world, if we trust people, we're going to have problems. But it's easier to trust things that we see, isn't it? Things that we can touch, that we can feel, that are material. It's easier to trust those kinds of things than it is to trust someone who we can't see, isn't it? One of the things that a lot of people put their trust in, for example, is government. They put their confidence in princes, as Psalm 118 just said. They think if they can get just the right people into office, everything will be okay, all their troubles will be solved, and they'll tie their happiness to the success or failure of a political party or political philosophy. And the government obviously does have a big impact on our life, right? It does. There's no doubt about it. And it's so easy to fall into that trap thinking that, well, if we just get things right, that our lives will be better. But I'm telling you, a new president, a new governor, a new legislator, none of that's going to really solve our problems, because eventually they're going to end up placing themselves first instead of the people. They're going to let us down. They'll ultimately end up operating in their own best interest by trying to get reelected instead of doing what's best for the people. So some people trust government. Other people, they will trust other things like money, right? That's a big one, isn't it? A lot of people, ourselves included maybe, trust money. We think that if we just have enough money, then all of our troubles will go away. And we spend all our time and energy pursuing money and trying to become financially secure, financially wealthy even, and it becomes a focus of life. Proverbs 11:28 says, "He that trusteth in his riches shall fall. Psalm 49 and verse 6 says, "They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother nor give to God a ransom for him." So if you trust money, it will never buy your happiness, and it certainly can never purchase your salvation. Jesus said in Mark 10, verse 24, "How hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God." So some people trust government. Other people trust money. Other people will trust their intellect, their ability to think through things. They think that they're so smart that they can solve their own problems, and they trust their ability to reason their way through life or to make the best decisions in life. While Proverbs 28:26 says, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool." And the thing is that you can't possibly be smart enough to really navigate all of the ins and outs of life. If you trust everything that you know instead of trusting the one who knows everything, you're going to be, as Proverbs 28:26 says, you'll be a fool. So the bottom line is, if we trust worldly things, we'll be left empty-handed. Job 15:31 says, "Let not him that is deceived trust in vanity, for vanity shall be his recompense." If you trust in things that have no substance, you're going to be left with nothing of substance. But then again, the opposite is also true. If you trust in something that is substantial, then you'll be left with something substantial. And there's nothing more substantial than the Lord himself. There's nothing more sure than God. He'll never let you down. Isaiah 26:4 says, "Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." See, in order to be trustworthy, you have to place the interest of others first. And in this world, there is no one who truly has your best interest at heart. There's only one who does, and that's the Lord. "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you," 1 Peter says. God placed your interest first when he gave his only begotten son. For God so loved the world, right, that he gave his only begotten son. We know that we can trust him because he loves us and he has our best interest at heart. And that's never going to change. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 10 says, "Who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." God never fails. He will always deliver us. God never fails. He's merciful and gracious, and you can write it down. When God says something, you can believe it. You can trust it. You can depend on it. Jesus prayed to the Father, saying, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And if there's one thing you can trust, it's God's word. You know, when we trust God and we trust his word, it has a way of changing us. It gives us peace that passes all understanding, like we talked about this morning. Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." When we trust in God, he gives us joy. Psalm 33, verse 21 says, "Our hearts shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name." Proverbs 16, 20 says, "Whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he." Psalm 5 and verse 11, "Let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them." God gives us protection and safety when we trust in him. Proverbs 29, verse 25, "Whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." Psalm 37, 40, "The Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him." Trusting in the Lord removes fear. Psalm 56, verse 11, "In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me." Isaiah 12, verse 2, "God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation." Trusting in the Lord makes us steadfast, unmovable. Psalm 26, verse 1 says, "I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide," because we can trust in the one who doesn't change. It makes us blessed and prosperous, according to Jeremiah 17, verse 7. "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." All these things are promises that God promises to us if we'll simply trust him. He's ready to bless us in so many different ways if you'll simply trust the Lord. There's so many reasons to trust the Lord, and so many reasons not to trust the things of this world. And yet, for whatever reason, it just seems so much easier to trust the world, doesn't it? So much easier. Probably because the world, like I said, is visible and tangible. And that's why trusting the Lord takes faith. You see, faith and trust are really the same thing. Faith and trust are the same thing. When you have faith, you're trusting. And when you're trusting, you have faith. Webster's dictionary even says that. Webster says that the meaning of faith is to trust. And when you look up the meaning of trust, it says to believe or have confidence. In other words, faith. So you have to have faith in our unseen Lord. But how in the world do we have faith in something that we can't see? S.M. Lockridge was the pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in San Diego, California, from 1953 to 1993. And he preached a message one time that I heard on the radio, and it just stuck with me. He was preaching along, and then he launched into this amazing appeal to his congregation. He was pleading with them to trust in the Lord. And you may have heard it before. It's a pretty famous passage that you hear every once in a while, and I want to quote it tonight. I quoted it at family camp a couple years ago, but the thing is, you have to understand that S.M. Lockridge was a powerful preacher. He had a pace and a cadence that in a passion, really, that when he preached this, it was amazing. I clearly don't have that. And so you have to use your imagination tonight. Just kind of think in terms of like just a passionate, fiery preacher as you're listening to this. And so you're going to have to exercise a little imagination. But that's really the way it needs to be done. But let me read it anyway. S.M. Lockridge starts out by saying this. He says, you can trust God. He says that he's the one who made us. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. No means of measure can define his limitless love, and no far-seeing telescope can bring it into visibility, the coastline of his shoreless supply. I'm telling you today, you can trust him. No barrier can hinder him from pouring out his blessing. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's empirically, powerfully, and impartially merciful. He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's the sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. I'm telling you, church, you can trust him. He does not have to call for help, and you cannot confuse him. He doesn't need you, and he doesn't need me. He stands alone in the solitude of himself. He's august. He's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's supreme. He's preeminent. He's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. Amen. He's the supreme problem of higher criticism. He's the fundamental doctrine of truthology. He's the cardinal necessity of the spiritual religion, and he's the miracle of the age, and he's the superlative of everything good that you can call him. I'm trying to tell you, you can trust him. He can satisfy all your needs. He can do it simultaneously. He supplies strength for the weak, and he's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he sees, he guards and he guides. He heals the sick, he cleanses the leper, he forgives sinners. He discharges debtors, he delivers the captives. He defends the people, he blesses the young, he regards the aged, he rewards the diligent. He beautifies the meek, and I'm telling you, church, you can trust him. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the path of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway to glory, and you can trust him. He's the master of the mighty. He's the conqueror of conquerors. He's the head of heroes. He's the leader of legislators. He's the overseer of overcomers. He's the governor of the governors, the prince of princes, the king of kings, and the lord of lords, and you can trust him. His office is manifold. His promise is sure. His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough, and his grace is sufficient. He reigns in righteousness. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's irresistible because he's invincible. You can't get him off your hands. You can't get him off your mind. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree, and Herod couldn't kill him, and death couldn't handle him. And thank God the grave couldn't hold him. There was nobody before him. There'll be nobody after him. He has no predecessor. He has no successor. You can't impeach him, and he's not going to resign. You can trust him. Amen. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He's all things. He's the giver of life. He's the joy out of every sorrow. He's the light of every darkness. He's the peace that passes all understanding. He's the giver of every good and perfect gift. You can trust him. There's no God before him. There'll be none after him. He is the first. He is the last. He is preeminent. There is no other God. And let me tell you, church, you can trust him. Amen. So let me ask you a question. Is that true? Can we trust God? Amen. Then why is it so hard? Why is it so hard to trust God? I think if we were honest with ourselves, we'd have to say that there are certain areas in our life where we don't really trust him completely. We only give him just a measure of trust, kind of like the cook at the restaurant. We don't trust him completely. Even in the basic things of life, it's hard for us to put fully trust into God. We reserve ourselves. We give him just a measure, like money. Do we trust the Lord to give us an income to live on? Do we trust him to give us work and to prosper our careers? Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We don't have to worry about money. We don't have to pursue it like a false god, God will provide all our needs. We can trust him. How about our families? Do we trust him with our families? Psalm 128, verse 1 says, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord." How about when we're weak and when we're feeble? Can we trust God in those times? 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And Paul goes on to say, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Not only can we trust Christ in those times when we're weak, but it's actually in those very moments that we really truly know just how trustworthy Jesus Christ really is. How about when we have to make difficult decisions in life? Do we trust God? Proverbs 3:5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths." Are we trusting in our own intellect? Are we trusting in what we know instead of trusting the one who knows everything? But more than anything else, are we trusting him for salvation? Do we trust him with our eternal destiny? 2 Samuel 22:3 says, "The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior." Let me tell you, church, you can trust him. I don't know. It could be that trust is maybe one of the hardest things that we do, to place trust in someone. Because when we place our trust in someone, we expose ourselves a little bit, don't we? We make ourselves vulnerable. The thing that we do is we take control of it out of our own hands and we place control in someone else's hands. And we put it in the hands of someone that we have to trust will do the right thing. And that's hard. That's because we've all have experiences where trust has been broken and people have failed us. But the thing is, we have to remember that God isn't like that. That God is the one and the only one that we can trust completely. We can safely place control in his hands and he will never, ever let us down. So just a simple lesson tonight, just to think about this whole idea of trust and what we are trusting versus how we should trust the Lord. What are we really spending our time trusting in life and substituting for the trust that we should be placing in the Lord? If we're not trusting the Lord completely, if we're just giving him that measure of trust, then let's stop tonight. Let's not do that anymore. Let's give him full control, full trust, place ourselves within his hands completely. Let's not hold back. I know this one thing. If we can do that, if we can bring ourselves to trust God completely, it will radically change our lives. It will radically change our families. And if we let it, it can radically change even our church if we trust God completely. Trusting the Lord changes everything. God promises that. Let's pray tonight. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we can place ourselves without reservation in your hands. And we know, Lord, that you will do right. Even when we don't understand, Lord, we know that you will do right and we can trust you and we can depend on you when we can not depend on anyone else. And Lord, I just pray that you might help us to examine our own hearts and our own lives and help us to see those areas, Lord, where maybe our trust is not where it should be, where we are holding back or we're reserving, Lord, that full dependence on you that you ask us to give you. I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't depend on ourselves, that we wouldn't depend on our flesh and our intellect and anything else in life, Lord, but that we would depend on you. I pray that you might be with your people this evening. I just pray, Lord, that you would help us all, Father, Lord, to give you complete trust this evening. We just thank you and we ask it all. In Jesus' name, amen.